in finance, I think there is a real shift right now, especially the last 10 years, I think, since the business partnering like a trend and also movement. I think it's better to call it a movement, where we are not there just to control. We're not there to count, to do the bean counting. We are also there to add value.
Willkommen bei Mendel Talks Finance, dem Podcast für die Finanzwelt, präsentiert von Viktor Mendel, der strategischen Managementberatung für Excellence in Finance.
Dear Nicola, welcome to today's podcast episode. It's a great pleasure for me to have you here. So could you please give us some insight to your impressive professional journey and career? And perhaps you can also share with us what motivates and drives you.
Sure. So I'm a finance guy first. I worked 15 years in finance, half of it at PwC in Luxembourg and Singapore, and the other half in a corporate world for Thales, which is an aerospace and defense company in Europe, but also present worldwide. And now I train finance teams on how to use AI. And I also get the chance to reach more than 1 million people per day because I have a media on LinkedIn and other channels where more than 1 million people follow me to get insights on how to use finance and AI together.
Yes, and AI and finance is exactly the topic we are speaking today. And today we will dive into this exciting world of AI and finance and exploring how the cutting-edge tools like GPT, but maybe also other tools, are transforming financial processes, driving and increasing efficiency. So all of these topics we will speak today. And I had just a few days ago a training where I trained at the strategic transformation. And of course, we discussed also about the AI in finance. And I still see that this topic is, strange and eye-opener for a lot of finance guys. So, but one step after the other. So maybe can you explain us first, why do you use AI in finance? Why it's important from your point of view? And why was the idea was born to create this AI Finance Club?
So, heute mal Werbung in eigener Sache. Ich habe 4 Fragen an Sie. Was könnte Ihre Finanzorganisation leisten, wenn Sie sie wirklich neu denken? Wie viel stärker wäre Ihr Bereich, wenn Finance das Geschäft aktiv unterstützt? Warum sollten nicht gerade Sie diesen nächsten Schritt gehen? Und die letzte Frage, warum nicht jetzt? Wir helfen Ihnen dabei mit einem Target Operating Model, das Klarheit schafft, mit wirksamen Business Partnering und mit echter Kulturtransformation, die alle mitnimmt. Vereinbaren Sie jetzt Ihr kostenloses Expertengespräch und sehen Sie, was möglich ist.
Yeah, so thank you for the question because it's actually for me, I feel that in finance, we have access to data. We have access to all of the departments. We have also access to management. And you know, usually we are really good with technology. So that makes us the best candidate to become the AI champions. And all of my career, I use technology to leverage my work. And I think now, today, the best technology to use is AI. So when the best AI tools to democratize the use of AI appeared in 2022, so in November 2022, I got the first access to that. So for GPT 3.5 or GPT 3. And I was really using it really quickly to think about how to use it in business. And that's where I think I really thought, okay, based on my experience, based on what I know from technology, how can I use this new tool for finance? And really quickly, I created these use cases. Really quickly, I created a guide to show finance people how to use it in finance. Mm-hmm. It was in February. It was already available for everybody. And then I created my first courses. And now after that, I trained 5,000 people and more than 100 companies. I have really identified so many use cases, which I think a lot of finance people still are not enough aware of. And that's my mission to change that. Because if finance will embrace AI, they will deliver more value. People will go earlier to their family. Yeah. They will not have to stay long. And on top, the work in finance will change because all of these automatic and mundane tasks will be delegated to the robots. And then we will focus on more human tasks.
Mm-hmm. So you already named a lot of topics, and we have, I think, to deep dive in all of these topics a little bit more. Maybe could you explain us a little bit more, what are the advantages, so concrete advantages using AI in finance?
Yeah, so you could first differentiate of the types of AI. AI is not something new in finance. You mm-hmm. have, especially if you look at the P2P process, so procure to pay,
yep.
or the accounts payables, a lot of companies are already using AI, if they know it or not, but when you use the OCR, so optical character recognition, mm-hmm. when you make the computer read your PDF, so to scan it and then to understand what is on it, to map it with your ERP and then book the invoice in your ERP, that's already using AI.
So it's nothing really new, no?
This is not new. What is new now is that instead of saying, oh, this field is always invoice number and that a human has to say that,
mm-hmm.
and say, if you see then this field, you have to map it in the ERP in the column invoice
correct.
Number.
Correct. Yeah.
Now you have the technology which understands that invoice number is an invoice number. It's not just like a word where is written invoice number. No, it's the invoice number. An invoice number, then you can map it in the ERP.
So and it doesn't matter where the number is, right?
Yeah, and all of this mapping is not done by humans, but by the NLP, so natural language processing, where you understand, so AI understand the meaning of the word, because mm-hmm. there is a high probability that invoice number means invoice number.
Correct.
And then we'll map it in the ERP at the right place, because in the ERP, they know, based on also the field of the ERP, where to put the invoice number. And so this is new because it will remove all of the rule-based process that you have. So that's one process. And if you don't have that yet, you really need to move in to have all of your invoice digitized. That's the first thing you need to do. The second one, which is also not new, is forecasting using AI. You have been working in finance and you have done forecast, Victor, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, sure. Several times.
So how do you do a forecast usually?
Oh, I take my past figures and I make any extrapolation to the future, right?
So you look at data that you have, that you know, you learn yes. from it, because you think that, okay, if every year in March I have a really good month and in every year in August I have a really slow month, then next year you will plan in consequence because you yes. have learned that March is a better month than August. Then if you also learn that there is an increase in some products, you will also learn that. So you will continue the trend. And what we learn as a human, actually the machine can also learn. And that's what mm-hmm. we call machine learning. So if you give the machine this data, then they can also learn that, oh, in March is a higher month and in August is a lower month. And the advantage is you can feed the machine much more data than what fits in your brain and my brain, and the machine will process that much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this, then you can use machine learning to do your forecasting. And this is also not new because banking have done that. Big companies like Amazon, supermarkets, they have done that to predict what is coming in the next days or in the next month.
Mm-hmm.
What changed now is that you don't need to have a data science team
mm-hmm.
to start forecasting with AI. You can just have a LLM, so a ChatGPT, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just need to have access to Python, or you can even do it inside ChatGPT. And then you take any open algorithms, like a linear regression, or you take a Prophet from Facebook, which is basically an algorithm that understands the seasonality of the product.
Mm-hmm.
And you call this algorithm that you put on just a data where you have date in one column and the sales in another one. And then it will show you the seasonality and it will forecast for you over the next months or years based on what you ask.
Yeah.
And this doesn't require a data scientist team. This doesn't require crazy tools. You need only like these two tools, ChatGPT and Python, to create yeah. your forecasting. And that's really what is changing now, is it's becoming more and more affordable for people. You have even now Python in Excel, so you can even do that in Excel. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think it's changing. And the third part, I will say, which now is new, is those LLMs, where you can talk with AI with your own words, mm-hmm. with the NLP technology, so the natural language processing. And that's a big change, because it's not us anymore, human, that are coding to talk to the machine. It's now the machine is understanding what we mean with our mm-hmm. own words, our human words. And that allows many more people, actually, like, I think like until now, 1 or 2% of people were able to code. Now it allows everybody to code, because you can code with your own words, and then yeah. you can make the machine do something. And that's why there is a democratization of the use of AI. And now if you can ask the machine, can you make a template for me in Excel of a cash flow forecasting for the next 13 weeks, then it will start creating the columns, it will start creating the lines.
Yeah.
If you ask the machine to create a template for your Dunning letter, if you need to remind your clients to pay, it will write much faster than you, and on top, the English will be better. Mm-hmm. You can ask, what is the best formula if I have two tabs and I want to map them and I want to do like a sum after? It will give you exactly the formula you need. So it's like having a powerful assistant that writes super fast, that thinks super fast, that has huge knowledge, and on top, understand what you say with your own words.
Mm-hmm. And I think the word powerful is even not enough. No? So, I mean, like you said, the access to this tools was already available in a few years ago, no? But it was available just for the big companies with high sophisticated teams, people with a high level of knowledge. And now the knowledge that is needed to use these tools is just accessible to everybody, no? Because we can use human language and everybody can make coding, no? So with ChatGPT, for example, no? This is just amazing.
Now, really, the technology is not a problem anymore. Is how humans and us, especially in finance, how are we approaching that? Mm-hmm. And there is a principle which is like the AI first approach, where people can use to get better at using AI and also use AI more. Mm-hmm. The AI first approach is basically, if you think about doing a task, instead of doing it the way you have always been doing mm-hmm. it, then start using an AI tool first to see if you can get it faster or better, or even the best would be like faster and better.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I just showed a few days ago to someone a video from you, how you explained to make headcount and income from analysis from the headcounts. And he said that he needed in the past maybe 2 days to make this analysis in deep dive and to create some charts and so on and so on. And your video where you explain it is just, I don't know, 4 minutes long. Nah? And you have everything immediately on your desk. So it's just unhuman, right?
And I mean, especially for analysis, what you can use AI for is to do the preliminary analysis for you.
Yeah.
And you will still use your knowledge of the context, your experience, your also feelings, because you get information that are not structured. Mm-hmm. You were at the coffee with a colleague, or you were seeing an email where you know that there is a problem somewhere in the production. And based on all of this knowledge that you have in your brain, you can add on top of AI to lead the analysis somewhere, mm-hmm. but you do it much faster. Mm-hmm. And also, the preliminary analytics done by AI without too much instructions will already save you time.
Yeah.
And then you can spend more time actually drill down and understand the real problems and also find solutions. Because in finance, I think there is a real shift right now, especially the last 10 years, I think, since the business partnering like a trend and also movement, I think mm-hmm. it's called the movement, where we are not there just to control. We're not there to count, to do the bin counting. We are also there to add value.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think there we can let AI do for us a lot of the mundane tasks and the machinal work. and then spend more time on thinking, how can I add value? What is the solution of this problem? What are the three scenarios that could bring more money to the company or save costs? And then also act as a human to make things move, because we know in companies, there are a lot of good ideas, but the only people that succeed is people that execute. And that's really hard in big companies, because there is a lot of things to move, especially humans.
Yeah. And I think that that could solve a lot of problems. I mean, I'm helping companies to implement business partnering. And what I always hear is, we don't have time to speak with sales, with production and so on. So to be a real business partner, of course, time is needed. And artificial intelligence could solve this problem. It gives us time for more value-added tasks, right?
Yeah, and that's why, think about it. If you spend 4 hours behind your laptop doing Excel work, and now instead of having 4 hours, you only need 2 hours because ChatGPT gave you the right formulas, or because, a part of our work, we do it, but we don't really understand if the requirements are the right one. So maybe also you could reflect on if you really need to do it. And you could take ChatGPT as your consultant to say, okay, here is my day, how I work, what I do. What are the things I could do faster, or the thing I could improve, the thing I could also stop doing. Yeah. And then like this, you could find the extra time that we need to do our business partnering role.
Yeah. Nikolai, you said that you trained more than 5,000 people already worldwide. So you are very international. What problems do you see or do you have maybe with while training the finance professionals?
So I think there is a people journey in finance. We like that things are structured. We like to have details. And you need to have your trainings really concrete. Mm-hmm. So it's not a problem, because it's good. There is a high demand on having things concrete. And also, the main thing is that people can transpose what they learn in what they do every day. Mm-hmm. And if you have a training where somebody is using SAP, another person is working in FP&A, then you have a tax person. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky that I saw so much in finance that as a consultant or as a finance manager or head of finance transformation, that I saw almost all of the finance jobs and I know what people do. So I myself can quickly understand that this, let's say in ChatGPT, if I show you how to write a memo and I show you the framework, like a memo of 40, 50 pages, I can translate that to any function in front of me, like an HR person, a tax person, a FP&A person, a CFO, an accountant. I will show them with a concrete example for themselves. Mm-hmm. But people, because they have not seen so many other functions, if you don't show them an example that really talks to them, then they will have more difficulties to learn it. So I think this, going a bit out of your comfort zone and what you have used to, and understanding that everything we do in finance is not really different than what a procurement person do or a marketing person. There is a lot of communication first with a lot of other departments to collect the info. Mm-hmm. If you're in procurement, you need to know what is the need. You need to know from finance how much you are allowed to spend. You need to know from legal about the contract, what are the different terms.
Sure.
We work with technology, all of us. ERPs, Excel, PowerPoint. You have to have still a control of the output of the quality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's an offer you send to a client or if it's a closing that you just did. And so I would say to encourage finance people understand that we are first a white collar job. And because of this, we can learn from all of the other departments. And also we can get the good ideas and implement that in finance. I think they should, I encourage them to try different roles and also to see what the other colleagues are doing. And there's a lot to learn.
Yeah. And I think finance is in the position, not just enabling themselves, but also to push the whole organization to be more effective, for example, with AI. But there are still some companies that they are unsure about using AI. What would you say to the let's say to the leaders, to the decision makers, how can they start and why should they start using AI?
So I think it's good to have this skepticism, because embracing it, like just like sprinting on it and basically like not thinking anymore, is really dangerous. I think if you remove yourself and remove your brain from thinking, you are taking a lot of risk. But the opposite is also like being extremist is in both ways, I think is not good. But I would still tend to be more extremist on the like, okay, use and adopt AI, of course, because I'm an expert on that. But why? First, it's not something you are going to change. It's coming everywhere. Like as
you the cannot stop are it, using right? it,
I was last Sunday, I made an exercise for my daughter who is 7 to teach her how to type on the computer. And in 20 minutes, she could maybe type like 3 sentences. And the day before, we wrote a story on ChatGPT in 30 seconds, and she just used the voice option. So why I was saying to my wife, I don't think our kids are going to learn how to type. Like they don't need that. They just need to use the voice. So technology is there, is coming to everywhere. So that's first. Second, your employees will want to use it. So if it's going to help them work better, faster, but also for them as an experience is a better experience, then you want to keep your employees, you want to make your employee happy. So why don't you give them the best tools? And the third is to start using it, you need to first educate people on what AI can do. Because I think if today you're afraid, it's because you are not educated on it. And even if you don't want to put any confidential data in AI or in the LLMs, you can do so much, like, you know, like getting templates. It's like if together, Victor, we have a barbecue this weekend and I'm asking you questions about how can I help my team to be better at business partnering. We can talk for 4 hours and learn a lot from each other without giving any confidential information to each other.
Yeah.
And that's the same with those LLMs. You can get so much value without saying anything that is confidential. And still, actually, all of these LLMs, they are like cloud solutions. So if you sign a contract with them, it's the same way than using AWS or Google or all of these SaaS tools that we use. You can actually be sure that the security is respected the same way than the cloud solutions. For some companies, it's fine enough because they have been using all of these cloud solutions and the security protocol is good enough. Some companies, like I was working for a defense company, then it's not good because they don't want that the data is outside of France. They don't want that the data is in the cloud. Then you need other types of LLMs. But not further than 3 days ago, I installed an LLM on my MacBook. And it took me 5 minutes to install it. And after, I could just prompt it. And it's only my MacBook that knows about the data that I gave to the LLM. And it's not somewhere else. So there are always solutions.
Okay. So the fear that a lot of people have, of course, that the data that I share with AI are not secure or will be, I don't know, someone in US or China will read it. There are also, like you said, a solution for this. I mean, we have to be honest. Already today, our data are not on our desktop. They are already in the cloud, and there are also solution for this that for saving to be safe.
And it's really good to be skeptical because it's new, but don't stay at the skeptical part. Go and learn it. Use it. Use this force to say, okay, I'm not sure, so I will inform myself, I will educate myself, and then you will already grow so much, and then you will start using these tools in a better way than if you use it without educating yourself.
Okay. I think the message that you are giving to the people, just start. Do the first step and try it. Of course, be skeptical, but don't wait. I mean, there's nothing to wait. This is nothing that that will disappear. And let's jump maybe a little bit more in the future. So what would you say will AI bring in finance in the future? Will be there disappear maybe some roles in finance and controlling, or will it maybe help to make the jobs better? So what is your suggestion?
So what I believe is our jobs generally always evolve. If you think about the business partnering didn't exist before, like that was the concept. FP&A didn't exist before. Even like controlling is not something that you had before. You had accountants only.
Right.
So you had maybe like nobody was specialized in business intelligence or dashboarding or even tax. Like you had, at the beginning, you had only an accountant. Mm-hmm. And so the roles in finance are evolving, are changing. And I think it's going to go in this direction. What will happen is we will have soon agents that will take over some of the tasks we do and that will do a series of tasks where, for example, you could have an agent that do all of the data cleaning, where usually we go and we download an Excel file, then we add another Excel file, we remove a column, we add a formula, and then we upload that in a reporting document. Well, this is actually not even like AI, is more like an automation that you could put in place, but you could have also an AI coding that. If you show it, you can have the code really fast, and then you can create an agent. Then you can have another agent that is specialized to do overdues. I saw a solution 3-4 days ago where you can put in place reminders to your client where the emails will be sent based on the tailorization by AI, so by one of the LLMs. But after, you can also decide, call my client, and instead of having really somebody calling, you have AI voice that is saying, hello, are you Mr. Victor Mandel? Yes. I'm calling you regarding the invoice for the company of Nicolas Boucher that you didn't pay, just as a gentle reminder. And you could say that it's an AI voice, but that, you know, like that it helps because you replace a part of the work that wasn't nice, like calling people to just remind them. And maybe at the end, you still need the human contact to say, hey, like, I'm sure you got all of this reminder, but now like I'm calling you because my boss really like we need that is done. So just to make sure there is no problem, like, can you like make sure you pay tomorrow? And that might work more than all of the rest before, but why should you not use the technology? Because just to remind people, if it was just somebody who forgot about it. And so that's where it's going, where then people who are not doing those calls, people who are not writing these emails anymore, they will have more time to spend it on the difficult clients to remind them, or more time to analyze, okay, interesting enough, this type of client always pay on the 15th of the month. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the forecast, we should change that.
Yeah.
Or they will...
A cash flow, right?
Yeah, for the cash flow. Or maybe they will spend more time like coding the machine to create a better cash flow. Mm-hmm. So this is where our roles are going to change.
Yeah. So it will be faster, more effective, and you can spend more time for more value-added processes. Nah? And if you look at the processes, what would you be your recommendation? How companies can prepare themselves now before they're using AI that their processes be automated?
Yeah, so I think you need clean subledger. Mm-hmm. So think about any subledger, so from inventory, from customer, from headcounts, so anything where on top of your ERP you have sets of data, I think it's important to have this data structured. Mm-hmm. Then to have after this data mapped with your ERP, either through API or through other automations where there is a clean mapping. And like this, you will allow more possibility from AI because for analysis is better when the data is already structured. Mm-hmm. But what you can also do is use AI to help you structure it.
Okay.
Because imagine you have your sales contracts that are in PDF, and there is today somebody who always needs to take the contract to read, okay, when do we have to pay them? Mm-hmm. And to put that maybe in an Excel table that only exists on this desktop of the person. Then the data is structured only in this Excel file, and the company doesn't create value from it.
Yeah.
Instead, what you can have is a process where once the contract is signed and created, it goes through AI that scans it, capture it, and put it in the in a flat table that is actually populating after the different tools, and where everywhere there is the same information about this sales contract, and then it creates automation about the invoice creation, about maybe a clause that's in a contract that where there is a risk that we need to pay attention, and like this, all of the company can use it, and there is also no human typing inside the Excel file all of the details.
Oh, this is quite clever, no? So using AI to clean up your data, and when structured data, and if you have more structured data, you can even use more and better and faster the other AI tools, no? Yeah. So it's
and that's a big misconception from people who say we have to wait to have clean data to use AI. No, start using AI to enrich your data, to clean it, because you can also clean much faster the data if you use Python and AI together to map data. There is a concept that is called fuzzy matching, which is basically if in one list I see Victor Mendel, and if another one I see Victor Mendel but with a C instead of a K, there is a high chance you are the same person. And so instead of having two times your name, which means like it's like we have two person, well, with fuzzy matching, the machine knows that it's the same person and will say, let's remove the duplicate and make everywhere Victor with a K.
Yeah.
And a human could do that, but a machine can do that at scale in 2 seconds. and that's where you should use AI to help you do all of these processes. These processes should always be documented that you understand what happened.
Yeah.
But this is not hard way to program that with Python and using AI to program that for you.
So I think that's clear. No? I mean, there are no excuses using AI. No? So you can start immediately or you can start tomorrow, but don't start next year. No? So and also the technology changed that fast that, it's maybe even dangerous to wait too long because the jump to the technology is becoming bigger and bigger. No? So,
And, you know, let's do something interesting. We are going to ask our friend, ChatGPT, how can people start? So what I have an option is when I tap twice, it launches ChatGPT, the voice option. And so when I have the voice option activated, I can ask, hey, I am an accountant and I want to know how I can use ChatGPT with concrete use cases. So give me 10 without giving any confidential information. And those use cases need to save me a lot of time.
Absolutely. Here are 10 ways you can use ChatGPT as an accountant. Quick research. Get instant explanations, complex accounting concepts, or new regulations. 2. Excel formulas. Get help creating or debugging complex formulas and macros. 3. Email drafts. Draft professional emails for client communication, such as reminders or updates. Get tips on analyzing financial statements and ratios. 5. Tax queries. Ask for general advice on tax laws and deductions, while keeping details non-specific. 6. Workflow automations. Get suggestions for streamlining processes or integrating software. 7. Regulation summaries. Receive simplified explanations of recent changes in accounting standards. 8. Meeting prep. Use it to brainstorm questions or topics for client meetings. 9. Document templates. Create templates for invoices, financial reports, or contracts. 10. Develop easy-to-understand explanations for clients about their financial statements or tax situations.
So, you see, like, this is... And I just asked one question. So, if you start asking, okay, especially in this case where we need to save cost, where what are the best way to save cost for a manufacturing company? And then you get, like, much more ideas. And then, we could look at... our electricity. Okay, so for electricity, what can we do more? What are the initiatives to save energies? And then, like, until you get to actionable points where you are going to say, okay, now I can work on that. I can take that with me. I can move on it. Mm-hmm. Only have ideas, but already have a plan on how to execute them.
Yeah. But we have also to be honest, of course. I mean, the artificial intelligence is very easy accessible, like you said. No? So everybody can use it. But it's like with every tool. No? If you just use it, let's say, untrained, you use maybe just 5% of this, of the whole capacity of this AI. No? So it's like with Excel. You can use it just like a table, or you are professional Excel pivot and whatever. No? So it makes absolutely sense, I think, to leverage the knowledge in AR to be more effective, to be more efficient. So I would say it makes sense to be trained from you. So, Nicolas, how can people reach you if they're interested in training from you?
Yeah, so depending on your level, let's say if you are a beginner, I have ChatGPT video course where you should start with. And mm-hmm. in 2 hours, you become a pro already with this course. Then if you already use ChatGPT since a while, but you want to go beyond that and use AI for financial analysis, for forecasting, for automations, then you need to use AI in combination with Python. And for this, we have a live course, which is called mm-hmm. Advanced ChatGPT and for finance. And this is a twice 2 hours course live. And then if you are more somebody who says, I want all of this and I want to continue learning every week, then I have the AI Finance Club, where every week you get either an article or a guide or a mini course or mm-hmm. a masterclass on how to use AI for finance.
So that means people can Google you or look on LinkedIn, and there they will find all the your website where all the information could be found. And yeah, like you explained, depends on the level that people have, they can use the training.
Exactly.
Cool. Nicolas, thank you very much. It was really a great interview. You gave a lot of good insights. And I think it's clear that there's nothing to wait. No? I mean, just start using it. No? This is the future, not just in finance, I think for everybody. And I think you explained it very good. So thank you very much. And yeah, see you next time.
Thank you, Victor.
Und das war Mendel Talks Finance. Vielen Dank, dass Sie uns begleitet haben. In jeder Episode bieten wir Ihnen tiefe Einblicke in die Strategien, Visionen und Innovationen, die die Finanzwelt von morgen prägen. Wir hoffen, Sie haben wertvolle Erkenntnisse dabei gewonnen. Wenn Sie Mendel Talks Finance abonnieren, bleiben Sie immer auf dem Laufenden. Wir sprechen mit hochkarätigen Gästen, die die Zukunft der Finanzwelt mitgestalten. Weitere Informationen finden Sie unter viktormendel.de. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zu unserer nächsten Folge von Mendel Talks Finance.